that slips away to gray. The hours that bring me pain. Tangerine, living reflection of a dream. I was her lover, she was my queen. And now a thousand years between.
I say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me the living reflection of a dream, Gardner. Coming to you from the Ramble on Towers Galley Studio in scenic, yet rainy, Lisbon Falls, Maine, circa October 1960. Yeah, that's right. Our town, Hespler, is once again a movie set. Once again a filming set, actually. It's a TV show. They're doing Stephen King's 11/22/63 here, and they have turned our little town into Lisbon Falls. So if you watch that when it comes on your... It's a TV miniseries. Whenever the guy pops around Lisbon Falls, that's my town. That's Ramble on Towers. You can see the tower in the background. They probably airbrushed it out or whatever electronic mumbo-jumbo they do to these things these days. But that's Lisbon Falls, Maine, and James Franco has been wandering around town. And no interviews with James Franco on his favorite Led Zeppelin song, although I actually tried. I was down there taking pictures, and I was looking for him. And that was going to be my first question. But no such luck, so you have to find some other podcaster in some other fictional town to find out James Frankel's favorite Led Zeppelin song. Anyway, this is Ramble on Radio, episode 98 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. And if you go to iTunes, pop over, leave a review. Just search Ramble on Radio. It comes up really fast. When I first started doing this, it was pages and pages in. Now it's one of the second or third thing when you type it. And leave a review. It doesn't matter if it's a good review or a bad review. 1 star, 5 stars. It helps their robots to see us, to see me, to see this show. The Royal We, the Royal Us, how's that? You can also get it on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. You can listen to it on Spreaker, Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. Get enough people following along on Spreaker. And you don't have to listen to it on Spreaker. You don't have to do anything other than have an account and click follow. And then ignore that account for days on end. That's all you have to do. And if enough people do it, every once in a while, I apply this show. I apply for iHeartRadio with this show, and one of the things that they're associated with Spreaker. So one of the things they look for is followers on Spreaker. So if you can get it on iHeartRadio, you can put it in front of thousands of people. You can also check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube, where I have some previous episodes. And follow Ramble on Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. You heard the intro. That was Tangerine from Earl's Court, May 24, 1975. 5 and a bit years ago now. We're going back 2-3 weeks. It's taken me ages to get to Earl's Court. That was the fourth night. That was the second weekend. So it was mid-May. They went into Earl's Court. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. That's our subject for today. But a few other things to cover. Some ground to cover first. Robert Plant has been canceling shows this week. He's not in the mood for a melody, it turns out. That should have been my header. This is Brian calling me not in the mood for a melody guy. That would have worked. Robert Plant canceled 3 shows. He woke up, how does he say, he flew this developed laryngitis, is what he's saying. And there's no reason, he doesn't cancel a lot of shows through the years. We know he likes doing it, so I don't think he's faking it. And they've all been postponed, actually, not canceled. should point out. So this is the timeline. June 7, he was supposed to play in Toronto, my town here. June 7, 4:58 a.m., he posts on Facebook. Unfortunately, tonight's Toronto show at the Molson Canadian Amphitheater has been postponed to Tuesday, September 15th. I woke up this morning and found that I had more of a similarity with a crooning Kermit than my normal golden self. So heaps of apologies. It's not my idea of fun to miss a gig, Robert. 2 days later on June the 9th, quote, Sunday morning at 3:03 a.m., by the way. Sunday morning, I woke up with a flu that's developed into laryngitis. I'm really disappointed as I've missed one gig in 15 years and now here's two in a row. It's heartbreaking. I'm furious, frustrated, and silent. That's June 9th show at the Meadowbrook Music Festival was postponed until September 10th. So September 10th, September 15th. And then June 10th, sometime after lunch, he wrote, I'm not used to this. I just want to keep on doing what I set out to do when I first came to America. Give 140% every night and be the best I can be at every show. It's maddening. It's frustrating to realize that I can do that right now. I can't do that right now, but I'll be back. And then, so June 10th show at the First Merit Bank Pavilion in, I'm guessing, Chicago has been postponed to September 23rd. And I think it's that show, one of the shows that postponement has since been canceled. Something didn't work. It might have been the Detroit one, Meadowbrook Music Festival. Might have been the one that, but one of those two shows, they've actually since canceled the postponement. Presumably that's something that happened at the other end, the promotions end. I don't think Robert said, I'm not going to feel very good that day. So that's what's been happening. He's got this weekend, I think there's a festival date. I should probably have this stuff in front of me, shouldn't I? Oh, that's not good. You can hear the click, 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 click. I used to, you listen to the what are we at here? June. This is June, right? So tonight is Memphis. I have not heard that it's canceled or not canceled. So Sunday is Bonnaroo. Next Tuesday in Raleigh, USA, and then Philadelphia next Wednesday. So Monday, that's Monday, Wednesday. I got this all dated wrong. 14th is Sunday. Yeah, sorry, Monday, Wednesday. So no word on tonight's show. I should have a peek at the old Twitter really quick and see what comes up. Here we go. Led Zeppelin News is reporting 17 minutes ago, Robert Plant will play his first show since recovering from laryngitis. So if you're going to Memphis tonight, Robert Plant here. Tour resumes in Memphis. I'm retweeting that right here, right now. So if you follow me on Twitter, you just live tweet on air. How's that grab you? So Robert Plant's back in business. Three shows postponed. And presumably you have to sort out your business if you were planning on going to those shows. So, all right, so Led Zeppelin this week released the first of, looks like, four pre-releases from the re-releases. Sugar Mama from the Coda, and it's an old session. And I mentioned last week that I wasn't familiar with that one. One of the things you have to know is some guys really know the repertoire of the unofficial stuff. They get the bootlegs, and they listen to it, and they study it, and there's lots of guys like that out there. I have a lot of those bootlegs. I've listened to this stuff. But I kind of put it on and go, it's all right. And then I go back and listen to the Houses of the Holy or something. I don't know the stuff that well. And people say, oh, that's on such and such. And I go back and listen to, oh, actually, that's pretty good. But I don't sit and study it. So I don't know really well what's on a lot of that stuff. So it was quick. Wyatt pointed out to me, Wyatt Brake, Zeppelin Cowboy, .blogspot, etc., that it was on, that one's on some bootlegs. It's from the third album, I think, Sessions. And it's just kind of a jam up. It's all right, but it's, Look, it's an extra on Coda. Coda was, let's see what's in the barrel. And they pretty much dug down so deep that they did a live soundtrack version of a song from the first album. In other words, they didn't have a lot of stuff sitting around. They wanted us to believe, at least. It turns out there was a few things could have slipped on there. But, you know, Sugar Mama didn't make it on that Coda. So it is what it is. It's all right. It's all right. But it's also been released. If you pre-released these albums from iTunes, you've already got Sugar Mama. I think you can go to iTunes or Amazon and actually just buy the song. Not pre-release, sorry, if you pre-ordered, which I did. So, Sugar Mama is out there and it's available. However, if you go through, what's happened on each of these releases is they kind of pre-release a song from each or whichever every couple of weeks. And if you go every 2 weeks from this week, you end up with at the end of July. So there's four songs that are listed as the time is. What happens is the time, how long the song is, how long the track is, gets put on there, slips on there. And we can project that those are the ones they're pre-releasing. And it's a fairly accurate measure. So anyway, we know is If It Keeps On Raining, Rough, which is a rough mix of When the Levee Breaks, that is also from Coda, 4:14 in length, that is listed as that is on there, right? So that's likely to be pre-released somewhere down the road. In the Evening Rough Mix from In Through the Outdoor at 6 minutes 54 seconds, and Hots On For Nowhere, look at my handwriting, I can't even read that. Hots On For Nowhere, reference mix, 4 minutes 47 seconds. Those all look like they're going to be the pre-releases, and look for one every 2 weeks. They did Coda right off the bat. I'm guessing If Keeps On Raining will be the last before, because they've already done one from Coda, but that's wild speculation at best. But there you go. There's four songs that look like they're going to be pre-released before the July 31st release of the actual albums. And these things at RollingStone.com gets it. And it looks like The Guardian in the UK. All those people who hated Led Zeppelin for all those years are the ones who now get the favors. It's worth pointing out. Instead of giving it to Dave Lewis and Jeff Strawman, for instance, or me. Just a wild suggestion. Because what we do is be fans of the band and promote the band that way. They sent it to the people who they've had disagreements with through the years, who hated them. You know, Rolling Stone and them, they never got along. And then now all of a sudden they get the special treatment. I don't know. You know, if Peter Grant was still alive, this wouldn't be happening. This would not be happening. But that is what it is. They're sending it to the people where they think they'll get the most exposure. I suspect if you gave it to Dave Lewis, you would get just as much exposure, because people would end up finding it. But that's neither here nor there, I suppose. Speaking of Jeff Strawman, his Achilles Last Stand website, I mentioned last week his book, and I haven't posted anything about it yet on the website, but I will be getting around to that. It's available. If you just look up Led Zepp Gear, I think it's ledzeppgear.com is the actual website. It's coming out a couple of months. I think that I read is still finishing up the last chapter. So these things are always a work in progress. But he's taking pre-orders now, and he's basically funding the book himself through pre-orders. So Jeff Strawman, the book is Led Zepp Gear, and pop over and see the book. It probably is a worthwhile book to get, I think, and I'll be reviewing it in the due time, and we'll get to it. All right, Earl's Court, Led Zeppelin at Earl's Court. How's my time? Time is good. Okay. I have to put on the reading glasses because I've got Dave Lewis's The Concert File. I'm going to take off the headphones and put on the reading glasses. How do you like that? Dave Lewis's Led Zeppelin The Concert File with Simon Pallett. Simon Pallett. There you go. It's a great, it's a little book. It's, what you call that, 8 inches by 5 inches sort of thing. It's quite small, and it's quite small text. But it's exceptional. It covers every show they've done, every promotional, just about everything. It covers it. Including, miraculously, Earl's Court 1975. It actually covers that date. So I'm shocked at this. I'm shocked. So Earl's Court, what happened was Zeppelin hadn't played England since 1972. And they did that pre-Christmas tour. And it was time to head home to England, but they didn't want to. By then, you know, they did the 73 US tour that was this massive thing. 75 US tour, they had all the lights, the lasers, they had the big screen behind the stage, they had all that stuff. And they didn't want to. It was the logistics of lugging it around England was going to be a nightmare. They brought their whole set, the lighting rig, the sound rig, amplification. The big behind the screen, or behind the stage screen, all of it they brought from the States, from Shoco in Texas, over to England. So they didn't want to take it on trucks and lug it around England, just the logistic nightmare. So what they did was they set up 5 shows at Earl's Court. They wanted to do one big event that everybody could get to. And this led to some interesting stuff. They initially booked for 3 nights, May 23rd, 24th, 25th. And the promoter at the time referred to as demand unprecedented in the history of rock music. They added 2 further dates on May 17th and 18th. Total audience was 85,000 people. On top of that, they made a deal with British Rail to get... to make it easier to bring fans to London, to Earl's Court. They made a deal with British Rail to get a train set up that would come in from the outskirts and bring the fans in. And this became known as the Led Zeppelin Express physical rocket. Now, there's a rather famous poster from the... I always wondered what this poster was about, but there's a rather famous poster. And it's a train and 4 people sitting on the train, and it says Led Zeppelin, Earl's Court, blah, 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 blah. The Led Zeppelin Express. And there's also a number of series of bootlegs from each night called the Led Zeppelin Express. With that graphic from that poster on the cover. I hope you can't hear it. My stomach's growling really bad. The Stevenson Rocket, they're calling it here. Huh. So... they brought fans in, 85,000 fans in from all over. 84,000 fans, 84,996 fans, because I know for a fact Dave Lewis was at every night. So he counts once, 5 times. And there might have been other people who showed up on more than one night. That's a guess. You know, Dave Lewis's best friend maybe was there a couple of the nights, you know. But, sorry, kidding, I'm kidding. But you can well imagine the infrastructure issues that come into play, and what they were dealing with. So why just one, you know, one show? Well, here's they brought in the sound system and the lights. Spent 3 days in early May in Earl's Court testing the lighting effects, testing the screen, testing the sound effect. 3 days the band spent in there. So you got to figure, like, this early May, this is, they must have had that place booked for 3 weeks. Solid, quite an expense. So you can imagine if it's that much work to make things work, to make the American system work in England over there, that sticking it on trucks and lugging it to the next place starts to become uneconomical in a hurry. Although I'm sure they figure some stuff out the first time, that, you know, but It was much very complex setup, and so it seemed easier then to bring the fans to them. Then, of course, they had to work out a deal with the trains, the British Rail, to get the fans there. So it was quite a big undertaking, as you can guess. As for the shows, more or less the 75 tour shows, and I'll go over a set list in a minute. This is more or less the same show as 75, except they added in an acoustic set in the middle. Acoustic set started with Tangerine. Jimmy Page pulled out the double neck to play Tangerine. Then they did Going to California, That's the Way, and Bron Rahr Stomp with John Paul Jones on the Framus bass, Framus upright bass. A little electric. And interesting, I think I mentioned before, I repair instruments. And I do some guitar repair and stuff, and I have a Framus bass downstairs right now. A Framus banjo, which is actually what they were known for. German company. They're more known for their banjos and that sort of thing. For the acoustic set, Jimmy used his Martin D28. He also used the Lake Placid Blue Stratocaster in the first weekend on Over the Hills and Far Away and New Quarter. And that's the first time that it became prominent in the 77 tour. The 1980 tour at Nebworth and the 1980 tour, he used it on In the Evening. And there may be another song in there. But that's kind of the first time he used it on stage. So when we saw Page and Plant back in 95? Was it that long ago? I don't know. I talked about it about three months ago. So that's why I'm thinking it was 95, not 92. But anyway, we saw Page and Plant on the Unleaded Tour. And he had the Lake Placid Blue Stratocaster out. My friend says, never played a Stratocaster before. Oh, no. He's played that since the Led Zeppelin days. You're just confused. Okay, so here's the set list. First night set list, and then we'll there's a few addendums to be done. But this is more or less the set list they did every single night. All five nights. Rock and Roll, Sick Again, Over the Hills and Far Away, In My Time of Dying, The Song Remains the Same, The Rain Song, Kashmir, No Quarter, Tangerine, Going to California, That's the Way, Bron Rahr Stomp, Trampled Underfoot, Moby Dick, Dazed and Confused, Stairway to Heaven, Whole Lot of Love, with the Crunch in it, and Black Dog. More or less what they did every show. I think like Dazed and Confused, they had their jam, had San Francisco in there and stuff, or Woodstock or whichever. The Crunch seemed to make it into a Whole Lot of Love every night. The final night, they also went into, after Black Dog, Heartbreaker and Communication Breakdown, including a snippet of Jeermaker. And that's more or less the set list. It's the same-ish set list they did in 75. These are, if you listen to the bootlegs, if you pull out the DVD, the Led Zeppelin DVD that was released in about 15 years ago, has five or six songs from these shows on there, including In My Time of Dying. It's an astounding version of In My Time of Dying. But I think Kashmir is one of them. Is Stairway to Heaven from there on here? Might be. But it's you get the idea of how good these guys were at that time. This is probably Led Zeppelin's peak. I mean, you can argue, I like them better in 72 or 73. I like them better in 69. I like when they were jamming on stage for an hour and a half to songs they'd never played before. I like that. I like it when they're young and raw, 1970. All those arguments can be made. But I think when you combine the Led Zeppelin catalog with the Led Zeppelin performance, this is probably their peak. It's got, outside all the kind of live standards that they developed, outside of Achilles' Last Stand, Nobody's Fault But Mine, and I guess In the Evening, which is a bit of a standard to them. Everything is played here, right? They had Dazed and Confused, Whole Lot of Love, Black Dog, Heartbreaker, Rock and Roll, Sick Again, Kashmir, In My Time of Dying, all kind of the classic Zeppelin set list is in play here. Whole Lot of Love. Plus the acoustic set, which, I mean, they did it in the early, around 1970, right? And then they brought back for the 77 American tour. But this was kind of the reintroduction. But they're also playing top drawer, top form. The drugs haven't overly infected. Now, there is, if you read Stephen Davis's book, LZ75, about the 75 tour, it's clear drugs are, he thinks anyway, drugs are well in, and hard drugs are well ensconced in the band, in the tour. But they haven't started to affect things yet in the way they would in the next couple of years. Plant's voice is solid in these shows. And the whole 75 tour, if you look at 75, they were good except for those early shows when Plant was sick, Page had a broken finger. So probably the first 10 shows are a little sketchier for understandable reasons. And historically, you say, well, maybe they should have canceled those shows. But you look at Robert Plant this week going through, and people are frustrated, and people are I traveled, I have plans. It's a lot, it's a big deal to cancel a show. So you get why they don't. But so 75 is probably as good as they got musically within their set list, within the classic Led Zeppelin songs. The performances would wane in 77, 79. There's no question that there were some nights in those tours where they were sensational, but there were some nights in those tours where they really were off. And that didn't happen here. They were still on fire. They were sharp. They had toured the early part of the year, so they were well practiced together, yet they had had, you know, 6 weeks off, so they weren't tired. They were sharp, they were on, spot on, and these are dynamite shows. They are such good shows. And the other thing is, the other thing that's interesting about them is a lot of the visual imagery you know in your head of Led Zeppelin comes from these shows. So many pictures that are kind of, you know, oh, here's pictures of the Earl's Court show, and you go, oh, know that one. There's so many of the known pictures, the pictures that you see all the time, come from these five nights. Page, the full dragon suit is on display, and he really didn't get that till later in the 75 tour. And yeah, so much of your visual idea of Led Zeppelin comes from these five shows. And that's kind of a testament to how big these shows were. And how important they were and how good they were. And it's worth pointing out that our pal Dave Lewis has been working with the people at whatever the name of the... No, I don't have it up. I'm working on a book called Five Glorious Nights. From Rufus Stone. So he's been working with Rufus Stone to get Five Glorious Nights. It's a big picture book. He's been doing editing and text. And they are taking pre-orders on it now. And it says on their website, only 1,000 copies worldwide. Save £15 when ordered before the release date. Now, I presume only 1,000 copies worldwide is some special edition, that it'll actually get a standard edition somewhere down the road. I'm hoping it gets a Amazon or iBook edition. It is expensive. It's £100 with the Canadian dollar being a little weak these days. That puts it at about $150 before anybody ships anything. Possibly even higher than that nowadays. So it's outside of the range of what I would pay, unfortunately. But you may feel differently. And it is Dave Lewis has been highly involved in it. It's compiled by Dave Lewis, how's it, the highly respected Led Zeppelin archivist, author and editor of the long-running magazine Tight But Loose, and friend of Ramble On Radio, which they don't mention in his bio, and I don't understand that at all. It says Dave was in attendance at all five Earl Court's concerts. So, 84,996 people saw them. But it's a big picture book, and it's it'll be worth trying to get a look at anyway, trying to eyeball it. And it'll be there'll be a way to get it sooner or later, right? When Jimmy Page released the $2,000 book, I think a lot of us thought, well, never going to see one of those. But then he released it as a lesser edition for us mere financial mortals. And got a chance to see it, see what the fuss was about. So I'm guessing somewhere along the line, get a chance to see this. And I really do have to email Rufus Stone and see if I can get a review copy, at least an e-copy for review, if that would work. When it's released, I'll try and get Dave Lewis on to talk about Earl's Court. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, that's worth mentioning. Check that out. Five Glorious Nights. And the website is Five Glorious Nights, all one word, fiveglorious nights.co.uk. It's a big book of Led Zeppelin at Earl's Court. And you can't, I mean, that's what we all want, right? All right. Hey, listen, I've been going over some old podcasts in anticipation of number 100 coming up, and I'm hoping to get some snippets, and I gotta get busy on that in the next 2 weeks, I guess. When is this? This is the 12th, so 19th, 26th. So yeah, get rolling to July. Maybe that first week, though, maybe we'll put off the next two. Instead of doing 2 weeks, we'll do 2 and 3 weeks. Maybe that'll be something that works. And then, right around July 1st to 4th, early July, we can roll out the 100th episode. I can get some, do some stuff there. But I do want to do the point I'm getting at is, I used to do a snippet when I was doing every two, three, 4 weeks, and I would do a big, long podcast with basically Jimmy Page did this, Robert Plant did this. I would cover all the news over that month period or whatever it was. I would do a thing called Bringing It On Home. And it was kind of meant to be a loose, fun story. And there always seemed to be, always shocked me that there always seemed to be one within that month period. Now, they don't turn up all the time. They don't turn up weekly. But if you're watching for them, they turn up bi-weekly or tri-weekly, usually. I really liked it. As I was listening to it, I thought, that's a good little bit. And I want to bring it back. And so here it is. Some Bring It On Home, little Bring It On Home. So this week's Brother It Is Back, Bring It On Home, the theme song back. Well, not really a theme song, is it? But it is returned. Bring It On Home is returned. And this week we're going to talk The Led Zeppelin Running Shoe. Coming to you from Fives. How good that I'm prepared for this, right? It really is a weird name. Let me find it here. FYVES. Classic high top trainers from Fives, which has the Led Zeppelin logo in the Led Zeppelin font and a picture, an early days picture, of the four of them on the side of it. It's a Converse style high top with metal eyelets, lace up the front, and a chunky sole. And actually, it's it was only $50. Too late. It's actually too late. It was about 3-4 weeks ago. May 25th is when they were. 59 pairs were sold. And it was available till May 25th. I should have grabbed a pair. But my son is a big running shoe geek. He's, did you know the kids these days they geek out completely for running shoes? I bet you a lot of the older fans kind of don't get this. Like they don't buy, they don't have a pair that they buy repeatedly. I still wear white Adidas with the blue stripes. Now there was a time for about 15 years you couldn't get them, and I struggled through different stuff. And I had some Nikes at one point. And I had Stan Smiths, and Stan Smiths became unavailable, etc., etc. But yeah, you kind of find a pair you like and you stick with them. Not these kids. Not these kids. They get all sorts of different pairs. My son has like $1,000 worth of running shoes up in his room in the boxes that he pulls out once in a while. He'll be wearing this shirt, and out comes these running shoes, and he's going on a date, right? And they're Jordans. He likes the Jordans, the Nike Airs, that sort of stuff. And so we were in New York last Christmas, and the only thing he wanted was a pair of Jordan Classics, they're called. It's kind of made to look like the original Jordans way back in the 80s. And you can't get them very much anywhere. Very hard to get. And so we went to this shoe store in New York, in Manhattan. I forget what it's called. It actually sounds like it's a weird title. But you walk in and there's a wall. And kids going, like young fellas going crazy to get a pair of these, a pair of those, a pair of the others. And we actually found the shoes he wanted. They were a couple hundred dollars. But that was his big Christmas present. So we brought him home. And while we were coming home, he's a big workout geek. And he broke his feet, quote, that's plural, feet. And was in casts for about 6 weeks after Christmas. So for Christmas, he got shoes he couldn't wear until Valentine's Day, basically. but he was happy with them. So anyway, this is now me. I can take him to this next time I'm in New York with him. We can go to the store, and he's got a shoe to look for, and I got a shoe to look for. The Led Zeppelin sneaker. Looks like a Converse. Cheaper than the scarf, which is actually a crossover. We walked out of the shoe store, walked about a block north, and there's the Michael, whatever it is, where the scarves are. And we went in, and I tried on a $700 Led Zeppelin scarf. So cheaper than the scarf, although by the time, now that they're sold out, there was only 59 sold, if I get to the store, maybe they won't be cheaper than the scarves. But anyway, there you go, bringing it on home, the Led Zeppelin sneaker. So that's it. Or trainer, to you guys in England, by the way. That's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 98. Check rambleonradio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, pop over to Ramble On Radio. Don't just subscribe for sure, but leave a review. Tell them you liked it, tell them you didn't like it, and why. Listen on Spreaker. And if you have a Spreaker account, follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode number 98. Keep it coolin', babies.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.